afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listening so soon. Bringing the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Podskaland.
I'll be honest, I kind of forgot that I had done nothing on the back end to get this episode out to you on time. 6:49 local time as I sit here and record this intro. We do have a guest this week, so we will get to them momentarily. But a lot's been going on. It's been a while since we've chatted, or for me, it seems like it's been a while since we've chatted. Though episodes have come out the past 2 weeks, I've been out of the country, in the country, traveling all over. And yet here I am back in the studio, office, spare bedroom, whatever you want to call it. Speaking to you all directly. Man, what a whirlwind of even just the past week. I'm not sure if it was the coming back to reality that set this off, that started to set this off, or what it was, but holy cow, my anxiety took a nosedive recently. So much so that I cried in the car because I was so anxious for the first time since March. And it's the first time since counseling started that I've hit that low of a low again. And of course, it would happen on the week we return. My therapist is out of the office. Thankfully, I do have an upcoming session, but boy, oh boy, that can't get here quick enough. I will definitely make sure that I can try to drag Leanne on the podcast to talk about our most recent trip. But I want to stick on this topic of anxiety for just a hot second. Because sometimes, outside of the anxiety, side note, outside of the anxiety, there's been a lot of other stuff going on, right? A lot of stuff that I'm not able at this point in time to talk about on the podcast. More to come in the future. But there's a lot of other distractions in life right now. A lot of other things, you know, kind of grabbing my attention, which is why I think that I forgot to make sure that things were out on time for all of you. But sometimes things come just at the right time. Sometimes things come just at the right moment. And if it's meant to be, it'll be. If you're meant to hear it, you'll hear it. And any listener who's been listening for a while, or long enough at least, knows that I don't push religion on people. I don't push politics on people. But you also know that I identify as I am a Christian and I believe in God. And I recognize that not everyone does believe in God. Some people believe in a higher power. Some people believe in something else. And people are going to believe their own thing. And that's fine. I respect that. But I believe in God. And I've talked about that before on here. And I just feel like when I talked to this guest that you're about to hear in a moment here, that I was hearing things at the right time. Those were things that at the recording of the podcast, I really needed to hear what this guest has shared. And yet again, coming full circle, This podcast was originally supposed to come out last week. I swapped it with another guest that I felt flowed perfectly with Father's Day. So we put that podcast episode out with John Fellegeller. And now yet again, as I'm getting ready to introduce you to Sue, I feel like this is a conversation. This is a topic that I myself once again need to hear. And I'm hearing it at just the right time. Hope you enjoy this conversation with Sue, and I'll talk to you next week. Sue, welcome into the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Trent. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, of course. Sue, so sometimes it's best. I know that you have a lot that you could unpack, a lot of different directions that we could go. So sometimes the best question is really the broadest question. It's, how have you gotten to where you are today?
Wow, that's a great question. and yeah, I'm sure we'll circle back, because to understand where I am today, you got to understand where I came from, because the impact is felt much more when you understand that history. How I got where I am today, in short, is one, my faith in Christ. I'm a Christian, so my faith is the paramount of everything. But then through that as well, a lot of love from a lot of people when I didn't think I was lovable. I have learned the power of relationship, the power of daring to believe that you matter, and the power and the life transformation that can happen when you start to believe, just barely start to believe, that's when things change. So it's been quite the journey, quite the transformation. But the smile on my face says it all. So it's been, I wouldn't trade anything, believe it or not.
Yeah. And you know, I was diving into I had seen the email come through my inbox that you were in a little bit early, and I'm like, oh, like I'm going to dive in. But I'd been browsing through your website and everything, and I'll share that in the episode notes and stuff. When I post, but, a couple of things I had noticed, but one of the things I really wanted to kind of focus in, since this is, I feel like where we want to start is, you know, really helping to bring hope to others. And you really are about breaking that mental health stigma and everything. How did you get into that type of work? And how did you get into that frame set and mindset?
I got into it because I had a lot of people be that for me. I am a voice of hope, because I want to be for others what others were for me. I went through a long period of time, like decades of time, where I felt I was too screwed up, too far gone. I was a waste of space. There's been two times in my life where I wanted to end my life, and there were only a shroud of thoughts that were helping me hang in there. So I got into what I'm doing now, and that being a master certified life coach. I'm a professional speaker, international podcast guest, the whole deal, the author and everything, all those other, you know, things that sound so cool, all because I get an opportunity to pour into other people's lives. I get a chance to meet them where they are, to speak to hurts that maybe other people are afraid to speak into, and to help them and to be an example to them that there is hope. I am a walking example of what hope can bring. So that has, my entire journey has led me to this. And while I have a great deal of trauma in my history and a lot of things that I've come through, I used to really get angry about that, because any one of those things is a lot for life, and all of it came flooding my way. And now I understand that it helps me relate to a broad audience. It helps me relate to so many other people, so that I'm never going to understand exactly what someone feels, because I am not that person, but I can certainly relate to it and understand, and maybe have a little more patience and insight than other people that haven't necessarily walked that road.
Yeah. You know, this is, I would say, timely for me, but also this is something I've struggled with a lot. And I've been very open about it ever since I started the podcast about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago now, is like my struggles with mental health. And I actually just started, I talked about this maybe a couple months ago, I started going back to therapy recently. Is there something that was like a turning point for you when you were going through that dark space and those dark times? Was there a turning point that kind of brought you, not to be like cliche, but more on like that lighter side of things, that then you were like, all right, well, now I want to continue to be this for other people? Was it a support network? Was there some sort of turning point for you?
Yeah. And I'm still in therapy now. I'm actually with the same counselor. I've been with her a little over 14 years, and we have gone places I never knew I needed to go. And she's a lifeline for me. You know, we lost my mom about a year and a half ago, and that was critical to have her right there next to me on board with that and everything. In terms of the turning point, I alluded to it earlier, the lesson that I learned about dare to believe that you matter. I became involved in a retreat program called Walking Stick Retreats, and it's a Christian organization open to anybody. We do retreats twice a year. And it first started in 2014. There was a movie that came out called Ragamuffin, and it was based on the life of the late Christian musician Rich Mullins. He was very well-known international star, if you want, I don't like using that word, an international artist, you know, the whole deal. And they did a whole movie, a kind of movie about his life. And that was a really hard watch for me because it hit home so much. Did a lot of the, just got something in my eye, you know, that kind of thing. Because I wore a lot of masks. I wasn't willing to face my own stuff. So I didn't want to let on to other people that I had stuff to deal with. Shocking is that all of us have stuff to deal with. So long story short is that later that year, the movie producer and the family and friends of Rich, who were all involved in the movie, decided to do a retreat to carry on the conversation about the themes of the movie. One of those themes talked about, you know, living a life of reckless faith, being authentic, the masks that we wear, and all these things that were just really piercing my heart. Coincidentally, this was the same year that I was finally dealing in depth with my childhood trauma that happened when I was 7 years old. So over four decades after the event, I'm finally dealing with it. So to tear off masks, to be authentic, to face my story, deal with the trauma, all at the same time, I was an absolute mess. I'm in recovery from an eating disorder. My eating disorder was kicking up because of all this as well. So it was flooding in. And I ended up going to this retreat, and I walked in calling myself the holy exception, that everything, and for my case, everything in the Bible was good enough for everybody else but me, because I was too screwed up, too far gone. And I walked away feeling and starting to believe that I was lovable, that people could actually like me, and that I had some worth. That first year, I had to own my story because I was in denial about my story. I hated my story. I wanted nothing to do with my story, and it was attached to me. So the first year, I had to come to grips with that, and I had to face it. The second year, I went back, and I had to grieve my story. I've learned over time, there is a lot of loss in my story that had not been grieved. And a lot of that grief was one of the sources of my pain, one of the sources of the masks and why I felt I had to protect myself. The third year I went back is when things really had, all that was building up. And the third year I went back and I walked away with the nugget that I am valuable to God. And I started to believe that I mattered. And that's when things really started to change, because I started to believe that I had something to offer somebody else. And it gave me motivation to continue to work through my story. It ended up being a book. And then to then be able to start speaking about it, because when we can start speaking about the things that we're not supposed to talk about, then it makes it more everyday conversation that helps break the stigma around mental health. And it makes it okay to not be okay, because there's a big lie out there that you got to be strong enough. You got to be Superman and Superwoman. I hate to tell you, but those are fictional characters.
And I do want to get to your book here in just a second, mm-hmm. but one thing I want to touch on from what I was hearing is you're talking about how it's a process and it's not yes. something that's going to happen overnight. And that's something I've always said. And so you and I talking right now, this is so timely, even just for me to be hearing this type of stuff. Where are you at on your journey right now?
Great question. I am a lot further along than I ever imagined I could be. We actually had this retreat a few weeks ago, end of April. And I realized that there was a lie that I bought into that was planted in me the day that trauma happened. And that was that I'm not good enough. There's always been the shadow of doubt that Am I really okay? Can I really do this? You sure that's good enough for me? That's something somebody else could do. You really think that, you know, just all that, even with everything else I've been doing, that still lingered in the back of my mind. And the retreat theme this year was actually story. And I went in thinking, good, one retreat where I'm not going to get nailed. I kind of got my story down. I can figure this part out. And I was wrong. In 2 hours' time, I was getting nailed already. And all that led up to, in my mind's eye, Sunday morning, I had a funeral. And I went back to this place of trauma where that lie started. And I didn't realize until then that that lie started there. And I buried it. And I dug a deep hole. And I threw all the dirt on top of that. And I walked away, never to look back. And as I'm walking out of those woods, my mind's eye, Jesus is right there with me. And I, when we look back, like it's done, it's finished, there's flowers sprouting up. Because and the image I get, if you've seen the movie The Shack, that's the same imagery I had going in my head. So where I am now is literally in a place I've never been. Because even with everything I've done and all the success, there has still been that lingering doubt. And now I don't have that. And it's not in a proud, haughty, you know, look at me way, but it's, I get to be the kid I was never allowed to be. I get to have fun and go experiment and just do stuff because it's okay to do it. And I don't have to worry about who's looking over my shoulder, or maybe I'm looking over my own shoulder. I don't have to worry about that nagging doubt of, you really shouldn't do this. That, you know, that's not for you. That's for somebody else. That's not for you. That's not your place, because you're supposed to stay over there out of the limelight, you know, or whatever. So it's only been 2 weeks. So it's a whole new place. It's exciting. It's kind of scary. It's kind of invigorating. But it's freeing. For the first time I am saying, and now it's over 5 decades since the event, over 5 decades later, I'm saying I am finally fully healed from it. And it doesn't say that I don't have the effects of it at times, but those effects no longer define me. And I didn't realize that that shroud of doubt that was lingering in the back of my mind was part of that lingering effect. And I'm finally to the point where, you know what? Get out of my way. Just get out of my way.
I love that you went into describing, like, there's a lot of emotions, because that's what I was thinking as you were talking. I'm sure there are a lot of emotions, and yeah. I'd almost asked you, but you said it right there that it feels so freeing, because that was the word that kept coming in my mind as well. And so I'm very happy for you. I know that you said you're in a way still on this journey, and you're in a new, mm-hmm. new area that you're exploring and everything. So I'm very happy for you. And I actually want to continue to, heck, I'm going to just say it right now. I want to continue to stay in touch and continue to chat with you, please. And kind of see where you stay on that journey.
So, yeah, let's do that for sure.
So I want to dive into the book, though, because you had mentioned that earlier. So you wrote a book back in 2019, or says mm-hmm. it was published in 2019 at least, called This Much I Know, The Space Between. Yes. Can you talk about if people were to read that book, which is on Amazon, you can get it on Kindle, which I see that because we have Kindle Unlimited, I can get it for free. Yes. talk to us about what we could expect within the book.
Sure. The book, and I like how you say it was published in 2019, because it certainly was not written just
right, in 2019. Right.
I started this book in 2015, and then I had to take a year off. When I was finally starting to deal with my eating disorder and starting to deal with the trauma, I did not have the emotional energy to do anything but just try to stay in my lane. So I took a year off. So the book started out becoming like life lessons I had learned, and I was going to kind of tell a story and life lesson at the end. And then as I started to heal, as I started to go through all my healing process and do a lot of hard work of healing, don't let anybody ever tell you healing doesn't hurt. It doesn't, or it wouldn't be healing. But the book kind of took a different turn, and it started becoming my story. So the concept is, this much I know is my story. The one thing no one can take from any of us is our story. All of us have a story. That's the one thing no one can ever take from us. And then the space between talks about the healing journey I went on to come to terms with my story, to deal with it, to accept it, to grieve it, and then to start healing from it. And I go into a lot of detail. I, you know, there is a chapter in there. We've been talking about this childhood trauma. You know, trigger warning for anybody if it's not too late. It has to do with sexual assault. I'm going to explain what it was. But if that is something that's triggering for you, please, if you need to put the show on pause, exercise some self-care. I never want my story to hurt somebody else. But I want to put that out there. Having said that, I am a childhood rape survivor. I had a classmate in first grade rape me after school one day. And his last words to me were, "Don't tell anybody." And I didn't realize the prison those words were going to put me in. And he went out one end of the woods and I went out the other. And I didn't tell anybody for 15 years. I didn't tell anyone until my senior year of college. But then I didn't even deal with it until 2014, over 5 decades after the event happened. So I share more about that. I also put the trigger warning in the book. And I say, if this is, you know, if you can relate to this, you don't need to read this chapter because you're going to understand the rest of the book without even understanding that. And I'm sorry, that's your experience. So I share my story, a lot of cool stuff. And then at the end of each chapter, I put a little nugget, so to speak. So for example, the chapter about the trauma. So this much I know, no matter what happens, God sees, God knows, and God is at work to make good come out of even unspeakable horrors. And a little later, I talk about my grad school supervisors, you know, and just all kinds of stuff. And Trent and I were talking before we came on, and we both have a master's in student development. So we have some commonality there. We were sharing some stories. But here's another one. This much I know, even when humans mess things up, God can still bring good. So the book has those little snippets there at the end that are also a little flashlight of hope. And the story that is told in that chapter as my entire story evolves kind of circles back to that. And then the second half of the book talks about, you know, the things that I went through, about owning your story, grieving your story, believing that you matter, because that is where things start to turn. So this is part, it's going to become a three-part series. I have book ideas for books 2, 3, and 4.
Awesome.
Yeah, I just got to get the words from my head to paper. That's the problem. So this is the first one. The second one is going to be This Much I Know, It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And it's going to talk about the things we're talking about right now, the stigma around mental health. Why, you know, the first chapter is called Who Are the Joneses and Why Do We Care? You know, because we're always talking about how we have to catch up to the Joneses. And then the third one's going to be it's going to be called 45 Minutes in Time. And it's going to talk about life's defining moments, because that was the length of time that I was held against my will. And while I let that be a defining moment in one way for quite a long time, now it's a defining moment in a different way. So that book's going to talk about defining moments. And then the fourth one's going to be called Grace Waves. And because, and for, again, coming from a Christian standpoint, all of this, just feeling like God is just carrying me and helping me go through all this. Even in the midst of all this, losing my mom, I'd been her caregiver for the last 8 years of her life. She lived with me for 23 years. So, you know, all of that and still be able to come out the other side. So it's been fun. It's time to get going on the next book. I've got a little bit written, but it's time to get it out there. So,
Sue, so when people are working with you as a coach, how, in what way are you helping them? How are you? I don't know how to word the question, but I'm hoping you understand what I'm asking. In what way are you partnering with them, and where are you getting them from point A to point B?
Sure. I work with clients, and what he's referring to is I'm a master certified life coach, and I work with clients as a hope coach, because when someone comes for coaching, they have some inkling of hope that something can be better in their life. And I work with them. We cultivate that and we watch it fan into flame. And I've worked with a wide range of things. The difference between coaching and counseling is that counseling helps you deal with stuff from your past to bring it up to the present. Coaching deals with present situations to get you and help you get where you want to go for the future. So that's the difference, is that I don't diagnose anything like that. It's two different things. And I'm very, very attentive to that line, especially because I'm in counseling. I understand that maybe a little more than some others may, and others may, or you may be attentive to it. So I've worked with a mother-daughter team in the middle of COVID, actually right after COVID hit. They had a big falling out. When they came to me, they defined their relationship used to be 10 out of 10. After this falling out around COVID, it went to a 4 out of 10. We spent about 2 months talking about communication, not assuming, helping them learn how to really listen to somebody, not jump on it and you know, kind of start talking before the next person. And it sounds like really basic stuff, but it's usually the basics we lose sight of that cause the biggest problems. So we did a lot of that. We talked a lot about boundaries. When they felt they had met their goal, they said they felt their relationship was back to an 8 out of 10, and they had the tools to get it back to a 10 out of 10. I've worked with a gentleman out in the West Coast who is an architect, and most of us think, man, he's got it made. He's tired of pulling permits. He wanted a new career. So we talked a lot about, you know, what was his passion, what makes him, you know, excited. And ultimately, he wanted to start a landscaping company. So I've worked with people in career change. I've worked with people with social anxiety. I'm working with people. It's about, you know, wanting to better themselves in terms of putting themselves in a better financial situation. I've worked with a few clients with that. I've got another client like that right now. I'm working with someone who is actually a coach and is like, I haven't done anything with it. I've been certified, did something for a while. I've been away from it for a couple of years. And now I just can't get over my hump. I can't get past my block. So helping them again, with career and helping them get where they want to go. It can be any wide range of things that is bothering somebody, that is becoming an impediment, that is becoming an obstacle to them. I partner with them to figure out what that obstacle is, what's on the other side, and how can we break through that obstacle to get them where they want to go.
And so before we dive into the what I call the Trent Speaks questions, how can people find you? How can people learn more if they're interested?
Sure. Best place to go is SueBowles.com. It's B-O-W-L-E-S. There's a whole stuff on there about all the different stuff I do. But if you're interested in life coaching, fill out that form that's on there. I'll be right back in touch with you when we get started on it. Also, if you're listening to this podcast, there's also a page on there. I have a couple different offers I make to people who listen to the podcast just as a thank you. You can choose that. One is something called, it's just a tip sheet of being unstoppable. Just some things to think about to help you start getting out of starting blocks to get where you want to go. Or the other part is a three-part PDF of a hope bundle. So they can get all that on the website as well. It's SueBowles.com.
Cool. And I'll put that in the episode notes as well. Sue, I never know which order to ask these next two questions in, so I'm just going to pick one and see how it goes. What is it that you've learned about yourself along the way?
Oh, wow. I have learned that I matter. For a long time, I hid in the shadows and I hid behind activity. And I say that because activity was my number. If I stayed busy, I didn't have to think. If I didn't have to think, I didn't have to feel. And if I didn't have to feel, I didn't have to deal with my stuff. So I stayed busy so that I stayed invisible. And if that makes sense, it sounds like an oxymoron, but I did all that because I didn't think I mattered. I didn't think anybody cared. I didn't think what I had to say had any worth. So I have learned that all of that was a lie. And that I have a lot to offer, and that I matter, and that I'm responsible for taking care of myself, and no one else is going to do it. I used to be real manipulative, you know, that passive aggressive manipulation kind of thing. And I was really good at that, sadly. So I've learned that I'm responsible for communicating my needs in an appropriate way. I'm responsible for drawing my own boundaries. I'm responsible for my self-care, all because I matter.
What has been the most impactful event or moment that shaped who you are today?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I come in with the hard-hitting questions.
I love that question. Wow. When you say the most impactful, man, there's so many. For me, I would have to, because nothing else that has happened in my life would make sense to me if this event had not happened. May 31st, 1985, at a Petra concert, I came to Christ. I became a Christian. And I was raised in Catholic Church. I knew a lot about religion, but I didn't know about a relationship. And that was the first night that I finally said, I need this personal relationship. I need this in my life, that this is good enough for me and not just everybody else. Because nothing else that has happened in my life, the healing, the opportunities, the whatever, none of that matters if that hadn't happened. Because when I really wanted to die, there were two thoughts keeping me alive. One, my parents were going through their divorce. And what I kept saying was, my family doesn't need to go to my funeral in the middle of the divorce. But if I really went off the rails, I could have tanked on that one. But this one, I could not escape. There was a nagging optimism telling me it was going to be okay. I didn't see it. I didn't know how, but I could not shake that for anything. So coming to Christ was the most pivotal point in my life, because it is literally the reason I'm still alive now.
What do you want people to take away from this podcast when they listen? Whether it's something you've talked about today, or maybe it's something that you didn't get a chance to touch on, what do you want people to take away?
So many things. I would want people to take away, first of all, that Christians struggle too. That just because I say I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm a holy roller. It doesn't mean I got it all figured out. It just means that I struggle just like everybody else. I'm not exempt from anything, just like anybody else. It just means that I have a source to help lead the way through all the garbage, and that somehow it all make sense. That's one thing. The other thing, this is my challenge whenever I speak, is dare to believe that you matter. I dare you to believe that you matter. Because when someone dares us, they're asking us to do something that maybe we don't want to do, or something we don't feel like doing, or we're not sure we can do. But I'm challenging you to dare to believe that you matter. Because when you start daring, just an inkling of just starting to believe that, that's when things start to change. That then becomes the anchor that you keep going back to when the world's throwing everything at you. Come back to, no, I matter. I matter here. I really do matter. And because of that, I'm going to do this, and I don't care what anybody else says. That's why I dare you to believe that you matter, because that's going to be your pivot point for the rest of your life that you keep coming back to. Drive that nail in, drive it into the ground, and run with it.
Sue, it was phenomenal listening to your story, and I appreciate you sharing everything that you shared. I resonated with a lot of it, and I believe everyone else will as well. So I just want to truly say thank you. One thing that I love to do to make every episode its own, so let my guests do the sign off. So I'm going to let you sign us off of the podcast.
Wow, I've never done this before. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us for Trent Speaks today with our guest Sue Bowles. We hope you've gotten something out of this. If there's something that has resonated with you, please reach out to us. We'd love to talk with you, love to hear from you, love to carry on the conversation. So thanks for joining us for Trent Speaks, and we'll see you next time.